Everybody needs help, especially other nonprofits. There are also a lot of other sustainable nonprofits out there that are doing similar to what we're doing. So we think of them as not competition in any way, because there's enough garbage in the world to go around for everybody. We think of them as like sister and brother organizations. How can we help you, even if you're in Austin? We want to partner with anybody that needs our help.
Welcome to Ecophonia. If saving the planet sounds a little bit daunting, it is. I feel that way too, so I'm talking with experts across industries and across the country to get to the root of how change is really made, in order to help you learn ways to make the world a better place. I'm here to investigate what really makes the biggest impact and to connect you with real people who already have their feet on the ground. Today, I connected with Tobin Nichols, the Director of Education and Development at Remainders Creative Reuse, a nonprofit that not only functions as an arts and crafts thrift store, but teaches classes, helps the environment, and serves as a creative community hub in Pasadena, California. Since I have a focus on the positive, I really wanted to dive into how they build community, which includes everything from partnerships with other nonprofits to wildfire relief. While I personally am based out of Atlanta, Georgia, I got the chance to visit the store in Pasadena before we filmed the interview. They have really created something special, and while you or I may not live in Pasadena, there is so much to be learned by what they built. To kick off this episode, I wanted to get both into the background of Tobin and Remainders.
My name is Tobin Nichols. I'm the Director of Education and Development at Remainders Creative Reuse in Pasadena, and I got started at Remainders by walking in the door. I needed a piece of fabric. I needed a small piece of fabric for a project I was working on. At the time, I thought there's got to be some place I can go to get less than a yard of fabric. A fabric store will only sell you a yard at a time. I didn't need that much. I felt like that was wasteful. And I thought there must be some place where you could find a scrap of fabric other than your grandmother's closet. And I did some research and I found Remainders. And so I just checked it out. I walked in the door. That was back when Remainders was really small, about 900 square feet over in a different section of Pasadena. And I walked in there and the owner, who's our executive director, was working, and she was the only one. It was really small back then. She was the only person there. And it was just like it opened up this whole world for me at that moment, because you walk in and there's all this fabric. There's all these art supplies and craft supplies and everything you're looking for. Even in that tiny space, I was able to find the perfect piece of little fabric to make my project. After, you know, I made that project, the owner and I kind of hit it off. I thought she was cool. And I took it back to show her and she said, "This should be a class. Would you teach this class here?" And I am an art teacher and an artist. So it sort of all fell together. And I started teaching there in that small space. And then in 2020, when we moved to the large space we have now, she said, "You know, I want to ramp up classes and curriculum, and you have this experience. Like, do you want to be the director of education?" So that's how it all began. And here we are today.
That's really cool. So I guess when you went to that first time, did you just like start talking to the owner, or like, was there some other kind of conversation?
It was funny because I think the thing that with artists and creative people is that they're always curious about other artists and what they're doing. That's kind of a really cool thing about Remainders in general, is that someone comes in looking for colored pencils and the people that work down in the store are like, "What are you going to do with this?" And they love to tell you. Uh-huh. And it's a fun conversation you have. So that was really what it was when I walked in the first time, is that she was like, "Oh, what do you need it for?" And I said, "Oh, I'm making this, you know, vintage jewelry tree for Christmas," which is, you know, strange in this day and age, but something that's very traditional and sort of Christmas from the 50s and 60s. And it just started this conversation where it's like we had this exchange of ideas, and it was just really nice and interesting. And we, like I said, we hit it off. We're still, even though she's my boss and she's the executive director, we're good friends too. I really enjoy her creativity and her knowledge about creative processes. And, you know, it's just really fun to be in that environment. That creative environment is wonderful across the board, No matter who is there, who walks in.
That's really cool. So like, I went to stop by the store yesterday and there were a lot of people there. I mean, clearly a popular spot. So like, how do you guys get your messages out there? How do you like get the word? Because you found it through a Google search?
Yeah, a Google search, which I think probably had gone up just like maybe a month before I found it or something like that. I mean, the thing was that Remainder started in her garage as sort of a, you know, unofficial garage sale. And it was a great idea, an amazing way to like get things out to people who might need them and use them in a sustainable way. But it really became a bigger idea when it germinated into a nonprofit idea. Like, this needs to be a business, a nonprofit where people come. They make donations. It gets used for things. It gets spread out to people who need them, with the emphasis really on teachers and students and artists, which are traditionally people who have very little money, very small budgets. And so it's kind of the perfect place to get that stuff. I found it in a Google search, but after I became the director of education, we also would, there was a small team of us back then, and we were just trying to make it known that we existed. We tried, you know, we didn't have a huge marketing budget. It's a nonprofit. We didn't have a huge online presence on social media like we do now. I mean, we were screaming into the void in many ways, just trying to let people know, hey, we're here. We've got these really great sustainable practices. We have these wonderful classes that are taught by people who know what they're doing, and they're cheap. We have all this stuff you can get, like, come see us. And it was just, the former marketing director and I used to sort of play this like Nextdoor trick where one of us would post on Nextdoor, have you heard of Remainders? And then I would go and answer, yes, I love Remainders. Remainders is amazing. Everyone should go there. So, I mean, those days were tough. I mean, we thought we had a great idea and a great product, and I really believed in it. I had seen myself benefit from it, so I knew it was a cool thing. Like, you know, I'm an art teacher. I'm an artist. Like, I'm the person that Remainders is looking for, you know? And so I knew that it was a great, great, great idea, but it was just a matter of people finding out about it. And so that's sort of what we set about doing. We spent just the last few years sort of just trying to get the word out. You know, we've been really lucky with a lot of media presence, but the thing that sort of really started it off was this TikTok that someone came and made a TikTok about Remainders and showed like the color-coded pricing structure, showed, you know, how it's like you're able to go dig. It's like a thrift store, but for arts and crafts. They just really encapsulated in just a couple of minutes what Remainders was doing. And that sort of was the tipping point. People started to find out about us. That got thousands of views, thousands of comments. It crossed over to Instagram, which is where we are. We've never had a very strong TikTok presence. I know that sounds crazy, but it crossed over and has just like sort of kicked everything off. And so we took that and ran with it. We used that as a way to start giving more classes, more days of the week. People started finding out about us. And of course, the thing is, everyone's generosity and is at a peak all the time when it comes to sustainability. They're like, I have all this stuff. I want to help out. So as soon as people found out we had stuff that they could buy, they also found out that we work completely on donations. So the number of donations we started to get rolled in. They were rolling in all the time. They still roll in all the time. So all of that increased along with people coming into the store, people taking the classes. It just really has gotten to this point where we've gotten really big, which is we're extremely thankful for. I don't take that for granted, because I remember just a few short years ago when it was super hard to even let people know we exist. And you know, we did a lot of community outreach. We would do activities in different places, just trying to get the word out, like, hey, we're here, come see us. And now we still do, obviously, a lot of outreach, but people often know who we are and excited to see us, which makes me feel incredibly good. But there'll be a few people that'll be like, tell me what you do. Tell me what this is. And it's like, oh, yeah, here we go. Okay, I get to talk about it again. It's not like people are not like, oh, Remainders is my favorite place. They get to say, like, what are you? What do you do? And that's another thing. It's a little hard to describe what Remainders is if you haven't been there. It can be a little bit of an uphill battle. If you say to someone, it's like an art and craft thrift store, that kind of explains it. But people don't have any idea of the sort of like mass that they'll find when they get there, the amount of things. We say, you know, our sort of unofficial motto is it's here somewhere, because whatever you're looking for is definitely there. You know, we've gotten so much stuff. So that's kind of the way it is, like, well, just come see us and you'll see what we have, and you'll see that you'll be inspired. You'll see something you want. That always happens. I give tours all the time to people that are like, they're curious about us. They want to know what we're doing. And they always start shopping as soon as the tour's over, and they find stuff or they pick something up on the way, like, oh, I found this, I want this. It's like, yeah, that's exactly what we're here for. So you'll find something you can use.
Yeah, no, it was really fun because I was browsing and it's just, you can get lost hours there. And it's just like, I need to be careful because I have a very small, like I'm flying back to Atlanta after this and I'm like, I can't buy too many things.
Yeah.
So I'm like, not to refrain, but I'm like, this is really neat. What kind of like, you mentioned teachers, you mentioned artists. Are those kind of your main people you kind of have in there? Or do you like, what kind of?
The community we serve is, you know, the students, the teachers, the artists, but also the crafters. People who, I mean, we got our start really with retired ladies that needed to get supplies. They knitted, they sew, they, you know, quilted. This is sort of where we got our start, which we are super proud of, and we love those people. They sustained us for years. These older ladies would take every class. They would take it over and over again. They would shop every day, and they would also give us things that they didn't need. So that was really where we began, and we still have a lot of those people. But the thing that came with sort of a more expanded presence online is that we got now a cross-section of younger people that come in, like in their 20s and 30s and 40s, and a really huge cross-section, a diverse population that come and shop for things and look for things. And so, yeah, we still love our crafters, our solid crafters, our retired crafters, but we now get, yeah, a cross-section of all kinds of people. A lot of parents will bring their kids there to shop for their school supplies, which is amazing. We offer teacher discounts all year round. We offer free teacher days at the beginnings of each school year. So we love to have teachers come. And then obviously artists are just there all the time. Artists are working their studio constantly. So, you know, you mentioned that it was pretty busy when you were there. That's the most amazing part of it, is that people get really excited to come there and find their treasures for whatever projects they're working on. So it's pretty incredible.
Yeah. So I guess it's interesting. So clearly it's a sustainable business because you're off donations. It's keeping these like, you know, scraps or things that might otherwise end up in the landfill in the hands of people who could use them. Do you find that they have that in mind when they're shopping there or taking classes or whatever? Like they like that it's sustainable, or do you think that's just kind of a side benefit of the thing that you guys do?
I think people get really excited about that aspect of it. I think people that come there are looking for, I mean, of course, they want a deal.
Yeah,
everybody
which of
wants
course
a
it's
great,
a deal.
Yes,
too.
They want a great deal, and the deals are fantastic there. I mean, we're on classes, we're undercutting everyone by, you know, our classes are $30, and we supply all the materials. Most art classes you take are over $100, and you have to buy the supplies. So, I mean, we're undercutting everyone that way. The price of things in the store is a third of what you would buy something new. So yes, people love the prices, obviously. But I think also people do get really excited that this is something that someone had. I mean, that's what we hear in donations a lot, is that people say, this was in my mother's studio for years and she just died and I didn't know what to do. And thank goodness I found you, because I know this is going to go to someone that can use it. I know that it will have a life. And that's the whole thing that I think people get really excited about. Like, oh, someone had this and now I can use it. And also, it takes away the anxiety. If you have ever tried a new art or craft, you know that buying all those materials is super expensive. And that comes with all this anxiety, like, oh, crap, I bought all of this. What if I suck at this? What if I don't like it? What if I'm not good at it? You know, then I'm stuck with all these supplies and I spend all this money. At Remainders, it removes all of that. Like, you can get things really cheap. You can try it out. If it's not for you, just donate it back. Like, you don't have to keep it. If you didn't feel it wasn't for you, great. Give it to someone who will use it and might be into it. You know, it removes all of that anxiety. And we do that in our classes as well. We're a sort of low expectation class. Like, don't you come to our classes and you are responding to the materials. We supply all the materials, you know. All of the things that come there, we give them. So, you know, if it's an assemblage class, there's a bunch of like wood, a bunch of toys, a bunch of things that you can combine. You respond to the materials, not to sort of the ideas you have. So you keep your expectations out of it. You come to class with a fresh mind. You're not, it shouldn't be this way. It can be anything. It's not like it has to be one way and you get really frustrated because it doesn't look like that. We leave all of that behind and you're able to just come and experiment and enjoy yourself and have a great time. And there's none of that like, oh my God, I'm terrible. I mean, when I teach the classes, I cut that off right at the beginning. I give them a little short lecture about like, we don't do any shoulds or woulds here. We come in with fresh faces and fresh minds and we like just respond to the materials and have a great time. And I encourage that when I walk around and talk to people, like, just experiment and enjoy yourself and don't put too many constraints on yourself, because that's just going to stifle your creativity for one thing and make you feel bad about yourself, which we don't do any of that.
So I guess let's talk about more about classes, because I mean, that's what you do as the director of education. How do you sort of like pick what classes to do, and like, how do you schedule them? And like,
well, that's a monthly nightmare. The middle of each month is my full nightmare period. The thing about it is we have classes that are basics and like, you know, really good basics that are very strong and very popular, like beginning sewing one, beginning sewing two, you know, beginning knitting, things like that. We have those that are our staples, and we don't really change those up much because they're very popular. People want to learn all of that from the very jump. You know, these days they want to get into it. But then we have other classes that people come up with ideas for. When I interview a new teacher that wants to teach at Remainders, you know, I say, what ideas do you have? What are you interested in? What is your favorite thing to teach? As a teacher myself, I don't want to be handed a class that I don't want to teach. Nobody wants that. You want to enjoy the work you do. You want to enjoy it and have fun and, you know, do something that you love and care about. So that's what I start with, is like, what do you want to teach? Tell me your ideas. Show me what you've made. People always bring things, which is so cool. They'll come to an interview with me and they'll bring all these things they made, and you can like look at them and hold them and like get really excited about it. And then also, because most of them are experienced teachers, they have, here's my curriculum, here's my idea, here's what I want to do. So I get really excited about that. That's what we want. But, you know, we also come up with ideas of our own and say, well, I have an idea for this class. Who might be interested in it? Who might want to teach that? And so I will reach out to my roster of teachers and say, hey, here's an idea I have. Anybody interested in this? Or do you want to put your own spin on it? You know, we do that a lot. I really believe in sort of like teachers teaching something they're interested in. And I also, having been a teacher, it's important to me to guard the teacher experience. Like, teaching is hard. It's really not hard. It's really not easy at all. And it is something that sucks the life out of you if you let it. I mean, you're giving of yourself completely to these people and these students, and often not getting anything in return. You're just giving out this energy. So I'm very much like, please teach something you care about. Please do something you love. If you're not enjoying yourself, let me know. Let's figure it out. If a student acts poorly, I'll talk to them. Like, let's nip that in the bud. I'm very protective of the teacher.
Can you talk about a little bit more about the community you've built with your classes and your teachers and this whole culture that you seem to have with, you know, being open to, you know, making mistakes and being circular with like, hey, if you didn't, you know, didn't like it, or, you know, didn't, you know, you could donate it back, and just talk about the community.
I mean, the community is amazing. It's an incredible community we've built. And I take no credit for that, because these people have come together and met each other and are interested in what they're all doing. And with the recent fires, that's been even more important. People have come back and needed things, and it's regulars and people that are visiting for the first time. And it just is this, as soon as you walk in the door, you can feel that there is a community there of support and love and care, and but also of like creativity. People are really interested in what other people are doing. They want to hear about each other's projects. They want to help. You know, LA in general is a really, really creative place. You know, we have the Hollywood industry here, which is very, very creative, but we have also a ton of artists, musicians, all kinds of people that live in this area, which is full of 14 million people. There's a ton of artists. So Remainders is this meeting place for them, where they can really hang out and talk. And even the people that take our classes, they get to meet each other and they get to talk and they become friends. And it has just become this incredible community of people that are sort of like-minded in many ways, but also want to learn from other people and meet people and hear about what they're doing. So that has been incredible to witness. Just, I mean, I do it myself. If I see somebody with something interesting in their hand, I'll say, like, what are you gonna do with that? And they're happy to tell you. They can't wait to tell you about their project. Like, it's really, really fun. And also, we are in a part of Pasadena that traditionally is known as maybe a bit of a downtrodden area. And so we try to reach out to a lot of the other nonprofits and businesses and people around us to say, hey, we're offering classes and they're cheap. And even if you can't afford it, let me know. We'll put you in it for free. We want to support the community and creativity as much as we can. And so we're spread that word around like, oh, you need supplies? Come get supplies. Like, let's work it out. Let's figure it out. You want to take classes? You're interested in something specific? Especially when children are involved, we have a really robust children's program for like after school and on the weekends and for parents that, you know, are working and need somewhere to send their kids or just want really inexpensive classes. A lot of schools these days don't have art programs. They don't have any art in the schools. So if we can provide a little bit of that to people who need it, that's really important to us. You know, not only is our mission sustainability and keeping things out of the landfill, it's also supporting the community that we love and are a part of. And so we work with a lot of other places around us. Like right near us is a place called Friends Indeed, which is a drop-in center for unhoused people who need to eat something or want to just relax and rest or take a shower. So we've partnered with them and we give classes to them and they bring people over. That's just one example, but we do a lot of stuff like that. We want to work with other nonprofits who are helping people. You know, we've been very fortunate in the last few years to become successful. So we want to use that to help other people and help other organizations that are doing good work.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Sustainability is such a like interconnected thing. That's so cool that you're working with other nonprofits. So I really want to talk more about that. I don't know, like how do you outreach? Like, do you just like kind of look up who's in your area? Do you guys, how do you like find other people to connect with? Because clearly sharing in your mission is awesome. And sustainability is not just like useless plastic. It has so many like facets to it.
Well, I'll tell you, when I made a huge list of nonprofits in the area that I thought aligned with what we were trying to do, or I thought we could in somehow help them. But also they reach out to us. A lot of places reach out to us and say, we're trying to do this event, or we're trying to do this, we're trying to do that. What do you think? How can we partner? I give tours all the time to people that are like, we want to come and check out your space. We're not sure what you do. Great, come. I'll give you the deluxe tour. I'll tell you all about it. And then let's see if we can find ways to partner. That's the way it happens organically, which is great. I mean, certainly in the beginning, I reached out to a lot of other places and said, hey, we're here. This is what we're doing. Do you need our help? Can we somehow, you know, align somewhere where we can do stuff together? And almost across the board, that's been a resounding yes from people. Everybody needs help, especially other nonprofits. And when it comes to sustainability specifically, you're right. There's a ton of different sustainable options. There's a ton of different things to do, ways to be sustainable, but there are also a lot of other sustainable nonprofits out there that are doing similar to what we're doing. So we think of them as not competition in any way, because there's enough garbage in the world to go around for everybody. We think of them as like sister and brother organizations. Like, how can we help you? Even if you're in Austin, the Austin Creative Reuse Center, it's like, how can we partner with you? How can we like help each other out? And our other places around LA, we want to partner with anybody that needs our help. And in some way, they can help us too. Like, we're always trying to make those connections and build community, because that's really what it's about. I mean, we can't do it alone. We've only been able to do what we've done because people have come and donated things and bought things and given us ideas. I mean, that's how this all works. Nobody can do it by themselves. And we're incredibly thankful for every partner and customer we have. It's been honestly just incredible to see the way people really want to like support ideas of environmentalism and sustainability and upcycling and recycling. Like, people really get into it. They get excited about it. And especially if it in some way helps others, it's a really great thing.
And I mean, I guess you really did kind of touch on it there, but like, why is community so important? This is such a big thing for you and something you're building. And it's just like, why do we need it?
I mean, people need human connection, first of all. People need connection. They need to feel connected to something. They need to feel connected to somebody. They're also looking for their tribe. You know, your beliefs are important to you. And I'm sure that you're always like, when you meet someone that shares a lot of your beliefs, it's exciting. It's like someone thinks like I do. Someone has the same ideas I do. Someone has the same goals I do. It's that process of just building community and connecting with people. And also for us, allowing people to be creative feels incredible. People come that aren't artists. People take classes that aren't artists, aren't artistic, or they say, which is classic, I've heard this a million times, I'm not creative, I'm not good at art, I don't know anything. I was told when I was a kid that I'm terrible at art, I shouldn't do it. You know, that those are the people that are most exciting to have in class, because you give them the opportunity to create something and they get really excited about their own successes, which rubs off on you. You're like, look at this amazing thing. You give them this positive, wonderful opportunity and experience, and it feels great. You know, at the end of the day, building community feels amazing. It's something that you want to do because you want to find your people. And that's really what has happened at Remainders, is that people have found each other, become good friends, and spread ideas. I mean, it's the whole package. It really is.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then, like, the climate's changing. We're starting to see things like wildfires happen a lot more often, and a lot worse, just because of the cycles. It's getting drier, and then the fires are getting bigger, and then it's impacting the communities that, you know, you live in, and everything and everybody.
I mean, we're 3 weeks out from the Eaton Fire, which took out the majority of the city of Altadena, and Remainders is right on the edge. We are three blocks from where the fire was halted, luckily. You know, I have teachers that are on our roster that lost everything. We have customers, we have employees that were displaced from their homes. People come in and say, I lost everything. I just want to sit and knit and, like, do something to take my mind off of it. We're right there in the thick of it, a people that we see every day and that we know were deeply affected by these fires that are, yes, you're right, every year they seem to get worse. Every year it's drier with less rain. So, you know, it's easier to spark a fire. The winds come up and blow things around, and it just, it's a really bad situation that is only becoming worse. And so, you know, it really is part of what we have to do, especially being so close to this Eaton Fire, is that we have to jump in and do whatever we can to support people. We have to do whatever we can to, you know, we can't stop fires, but we can support people who have lost things. We can do what we can to make it better for them. I mean, what we did as soon as Remainders was cleared to go back to, because for days we weren't able to go there. The fires were raging. It was an insane mess. Everything, the air was toxic and terrible. Even when we were allowed back and started relief efforts, the air was bad. It was gray. The sky was gray and orange, and it's not blue, and full of particulate, full of, like, crap. It was bad. But we felt like we had to do something right now. These were our people. You know, we knew people that had lost things. And so we knew we had to jump in and do whatever we could, being so close to it all. And being a community organization, that's part of our mandate, is to help people. So, you know, the day after we were allowed back in, that next morning, we started relief efforts. We started taking in donations, which is something we do anyway, but we just switched what we were taking. Like, now we're taking water, we're taking clothing, we're taking bedding, we're taking toiletries, anything that you think would help people, we shifted to taking that. And it was an incredible, overwhelming experience. I mean, we thought, in my head, I said, okay, we'll take in donations for a week. That'll be great. We'll take in all that we'll get. It'll be so great. No, after a day, we had so much, we had filled up our room. We had filled the room. And we're like, oh my God, we can't take any more donations. This is crazy. And that didn't just happen to us. That was happening all over the city. People's generosity and their support was incredible. So we stopped donations after that first day and just went straight into, like, giving out mode the next day. We're like, okay, we switched up our social media. We put signs out in the front of the building. Come get stuff. Anybody that needs stuff, come get stuff. You need water, you need whatever. And again, we had people just come and want to volunteer. The most incredible part of it all for me was that people would show up and say, hey, I brought some water to donate. Great. Thanks so much. Can I stay and volunteer? which to me seemed incredible. It's already incredible that you brought things to donate. That in and of itself is such a selfless act. But then that you want to stay and help further and volunteer just blew my mind. It sent me into tears more than once, just because that happened over and over again. We had so many volunteers show up to help us that we had to turn them away, which is crazy. That's an incredible gift, you know? And I would say to people who showed up I'd say, this sounds nuts, but we can't use you. Like, you know, try down the street. Over there. They need volunteers too. It was just incredible to see the community come together and try to help people who needed it. Our mandate is to help people. And so it seemed like we had to jump in when the fires were somewhat under control. At least when we were allowed back there, we had to jump in and do something. And that's been amazing. We took in the stuff, we've given out the stuff, but also we opened up our creative space to anyone that just needed, if you need to come charge your phone, great, come do that. If you need to sit down and draw or do something just to take your mind off stuff, come do that. If you need somewhere to bring your kids, you know, come do that. So for 3 weeks, we ran sort of just an open studio. You could come and sew if you needed to. Like one of our sewing teachers was making bags for people and making pants for people, and people would show up to do that. Like, I just wanted to come and make things. I just wanted to help. People showed up to draw and paint and sit and just like chill out for a while and take their mind off stuff. And then people would show up to help them. Like, I just came. I heard you were doing this. I just wanted to come and like be part of it. That I heard over and over again. So it's just amazing the way people have come together. Really, honestly, beyond amazing. I've never seen anything like it. And I'm just so proud of our community and proud of everyone in LA, because people have really, really just stepped up to help those in need. The help has been more than the people that need it. That's the really incredible thing. We've gotten personally more donations than we could give out, which talks directly to the resilience of people and the care that people have for others in the community. And that's really what Remainders is doing in general. We care about our community. We want to spread creativity and spread hope and give people opportunity as much as we can. So that's what we're doing. But in addition to that, you know, we're trying to save the planet in our own little way. Obviously, we can't do it alone. And there are tons of other sustainability people and businesses around that do this same great work we're doing. But, you know, we are focused on what we can do, which is, we've been able to form partnerships with the studios in Los Angeles, which are huge wasters. We've been able to form a lot of partnerships with just other companies that have things to give and donate and don't want to throw it away. The thing with specifically with studios is that once a production's over, they have all of this stuff. All of that stuff traditionally has just been thrown away or stored. And so they have to have either storage or they have to put it all in the landfill in the trash. So we've been able to form these partnerships with them where we say, hey, bring stuff to us. Like, you know, think of your favorite superhero movie. All those costumes had to be made. All of the things they wear had to be made. All the things they do were made. So we now will take in these huge donations from these companies of fabric that were used for Superman's costume or whatever, like fabric, stuff from sets, all sorts of things that were used on the sets. We'll take all that in now, and they get to feel good about it not going to the landfill. We get to feel good about it not going to the landfill, and it gets to be spread out to other people that can use it. It's been incredible that way. It's a win-win for everybody. You don't have to store it. You don't have to keep it. You don't have to throw it away. Someone else gets to use it. You get to feel good about that. Like, there's no downside to it. And so that's a huge thing. But because we've gotten this word out so well, we've done such a great job of getting the word out, our donations have increased exponentially in the last 3 years. They've gone through the roof. You know, the first year that I started tracking how much donations we were taking in, we took in I want to say 24,000 pounds, which is a lot. Last year, we took in 37 tons of materials. We were donated to us. We took in 37 tons last year. This past year, we took in 127 tons of materials in donations. 127 tons that we have taken in and distributed. So, you know, I'm proud of that. I'm really proud of that fact because that is work that needed to be done and we found a way to do it. And it's work people have done. People have done that. It's not that we've just done it on our own. Everyone's done it. Anyone that brings stuff to us just because they don't want it to go to waste is a hero in my book. So, you know, this is what we're trying to do, is do whatever we can to save the planet and keep things out of the landfill and help the community. So that's our whole bag.
That's awesome. I mean, like 27 tons is a lot of tons.
127.
Did I not say it? I meant to say 127.
127.
127. So do you store that all? Do you find that it all gets like bought up by people? Like, how do you get that all distributed? Because that's a lot.
I mean, we just moved into another part of the building that we're in that's a bigger space and we put donations in there. It's about three times the size of the donation space we had before. Immediately it was full. There's no shortage of people bringing things. There's a shortage of space. So what we have is an incredible team of people that work in donations, taking in stuff, sorting it immediately, getting it up into the store. People in there get it priced and out on the floor so people can buy it. It's this process that takes place every day because otherwise, it's going to sit back there. And the whole goal is to get it into the hands of people that need it and can use it. So we've got this truly amazing team that just processes donations, you know, almost every day. They're just like moving it out, getting it out there for people to buy because people really want it and they really need it. And we don't need to keep it. We're not trying to keep it. We want to get it into the hands of people. So that's really what it's about. And they're overworked. They have a lot of work to do. They're often tired. You know, we can always use more help doing that because there is so much that has to be gotten out there. But that's the point, is to get it into the hands of people that need it. So, you know, they work a lot. They work tirelessly. They're an incredible bunch. We couldn't do it without them. But it's been that system that's had to really be developed over the years, as we've gotten more donations, as that's increased, we've had to come up with new processes on how to process things and get it out there efficiently and quickly, because otherwise it just piles up. You literally get a pile of things to the ceiling. I've seen it that way. People will, if we get an onslaught of donations or a huge donation, sometimes we get 1,200 pounds at a time of donations. And that can become a literal mountain that goes to the ceiling of the room. So, you know, you've got to have a great team of people that just jump in and grab it and organize it and send it up front to the store. That's really it's the hard work.
Crazy. So I guess you mentioned it because being in LA, you got a lot of film here. We have a lot of film in Atlanta too. So I've seen warehouse sales, like Warner Brothers. I've had like warehouse sales of like all their like costumes and props and that they're not using or don't want anymore or whatever. So when you're getting, I guess, sort of donations from film industry people, are those like huge, like bulk donations that you then have to then sort in your like tiny space?
Much of it is yes. I mean, we try to say, if we have a system in place now that says, if for everybody, if you're bringing more than an armload, we need you to make an appointment.
Yeah.
And in that appointment, tell us what you're bringing. And often if people will email us, we'll say, okay, they'll say we have like Warner Brothers. I mean, not to drop names, but like they'll be like, we have this stuff. Okay, can you send us photos? Can we see what it is? So we have some idea of what's coming. Also, some of that stuff we just can't take. We try not to turn things away because the fear is that if we turn it away, it's going into the trash. But, you know, there are some things we literally cannot take. We cannot use. And so we want photos and descriptions to say, you know, what is you bringing? So we're able to plan where it's going to go. And, you know, it will get crazy things. Like we'll get crazy things and then we will just quickly make a post on social media. Hey, we got this. I mean, we got like hair, like weaves and things that we got that were in packages that we got. Someone donated that. We're like, hey, social media, anybody need these? Here they are. Come get them. And that's been the really great thing. If it's something huge or something crazy or something we just don't know what to do with, you put it on social media, someone wants it. Someone will come and get it. They're like, this is exactly what I've needed. And they will come immediately and get it, which is great.
That's awesome.
We really aren't trying to store things and keep it. We want it out and into the hands of people. So that's been super helpful. Social media in that way has been incredible for us. And in general, it's been really great. I mean, people find out about us. They can ask questions. They can learn about the classes we give, learn what we take, what we don't. Like, it's been really wonderful to just use social media in that way. I think, you know, a lot of times people are like, social media is getting evil. It's getting bad. It's, you know, giving people the wrong message. It's giving teenage girls the wrong message about their bodies. Like, all these sort of negative things about social media. Well, this is a really positive thing that it's been able to do for us. And we appreciate it. We don't take it for granted.
Yeah. I know, that's awesome. No, there's definitely bad sides of social media. And I've, like, been on them. And it's just lots of angry comments. And just, like, once you kind of get there, it can be really awful, too.
Yeah.
But you are absolutely correct where there is very positive outlets. And that's so great that you guys have, like, people that you can just post through. What's, like, the weirdest, like, thing that you've gotten that you've had, you know? And it's okay if you can't think of an example.
So many. You don't even know. The weaves were weird. Definitely very weird. We get a lot of, like, wacky stuff. Like, here's a project halfway done. You know, I mean, we've gotten costumes, we've gotten crazy sculptures. Someone from Missouri called me and said, I want to donate a piano to you. It's a grand piano, and I'm going to ship it from Missouri to you. Is that okay? And I was like, No, don't ship me a grand piano. I don't have anywhere to put that. Like, no. Thank you so much. Like, that's so incredible. I can't even imagine what it would cost to ship a grand piano across the country. But I was like, thank you. No, I can't take that. Crazy things. I mean, it just happens all the time. There's, like, weird photos. We get a lot of really weird photos of people, like, you know, a failed actor's headshots, or like, there are photos of people, like, on vacation or doing things, like, random things. We have a whole photo bin. Like, here are photos. If you need photos for your art projects, people, they'll be, like, just people. And it's, like, what family thought, oh, I don't need these photos anymore. Like, I don't care about my family anymore. I don't know what that decision is where you give away family photos, but we get a lot of those, and there are some weird ones, some really, like, strange things. Weird toys, old toys, weird old things. Like, I can't, it's everything. There's everything there. Every weird thing you can think of has come through there so far. Like, musical instruments, I can't even tell you all the stuff. And we get a lot of, like, holiday stuff, which is sometimes strange and unusual. Somebody donated these gigantic, like, literally, like, this big squares and X's and circles, styrofoam. They're bright pink. And they donated, like, 50 of them. And they were literally, like, this big, like, huge. And we had nowhere to put them. They brought them. We took them. We probably shouldn't have taken them. We took them. And so then they were on the wall at Remainders for a long time. They were, like, along the wall because there was nowhere else to put them. And then finally someone was like, oh, I need those. Are those for sale? Like, yeah, totally. Those are for sale. Please take them. You know, these giant pink squares, X's and zeros, or O's. I mean, who knows what they were for or where they came from, but they showed up and here we go. You know, it's just the thing. Like, you get weird things and you think nobody's going to want this. Like, one day we got four microscopes. Someone donated four microscopes. We're like, what are we going to do with these microscopes? Someone bought them. Someone's like, I needed microscopes. Just like those X's and squares. Somebody was like, that's for me. I need those. And bought them all. It's like, great. Awesome. You never know. But, you know, that's the thing. Everybody wants something. Everyone's looking for something. It's a creative business, you know?
Can you talk about sort of the future of Remainders, how you guys want to expand your mission, future projects you may be working on, how you want to serve more people.
Well, I can tell you, it's super exciting what we've got in store for the future, the direct future. In fact, it's already in process now. And a lot of people think this doesn't quite fit with our mission, but it actually does. We have opened up a new performance space in our building. So in the back of the building, the room that used to be donations is now a performance space. We have a robust capoeira program happening. We are putting in dance classes, yoga classes, performance-based art, music. We're putting all of that in this new year. We're installing all of that now. The room is already ready. I'm already interviewing people to put this program in place because we want to further serve the community by offering these new creative outlets. Creativity isn't just about art or craft or sewing or fabric. It's about the full gamut of dance, music, everything. And so there are a lot of like dance companies and people out there who don't have a home. They don't have anywhere to make their performances. And we have this new space that we can offer, as well as wellness programs. We're initiating a new wellness program specifically to target people who need mental health wellness in our community. And we're also spreading that out into our classes. We're putting components of wellness in each of our classes to just help people as much as we can. So that's the new big exciting thing we're doing, is wellness opportunities and this new performance space that we're putting out there to further our mission of helping and supporting the community and spreading creativity. It's really exciting. It's something I've wanted to do for a long time, and we've experimented with different ways of doing it in the main creative space, but this new part of the building that we've taken over just screamed, this is the place for performance and all of that sort of stuff. So we're really excited that that's all coming through fruition this year. So that's our future so far. And, you know, we want to just keep doing what we're doing. You know, we always need more space because we always have more donations. So we're just trying to like keep growing as much as we can and doing the good work. The capoeira program is in place. You can take capoeira classes there on our website. You can sign up for those. If you're not familiar with it, you can take a beginner class. They'll teach you about it. The practitioner came from Brazil to teach capoeira here. He and his brothers came, and they're incredible. They're so good. So it's already begun, and we're just going to keep chugging away and putting more stuff in there. We also have had some performance bases in our gallery upstairs that will move down there. And the wellness program also, wellness was supposed to kick in January. Of course, the fires put a little bit of a din on that. So we're ramping up all the wellness initiatives for February, and all of that stuff is going to happen very quickly.
That's awesome. Is there anything else you think I didn't talk about?
I think we covered most everything. I mean, we are open for business. We want people to bring us donations of things they don't need and don't want and want to have a better home. And we want to get people in the store that need the stuff. You know, come see us. Check out what we have. We have everything. We really do. So come check it out and also take our classes. If you have an idea for a class, send me an email. I want to hear about it. It's really that simple. On our website is all the stuff you need to contact us. All the information you might want is there. Also on our social media. So yeah, let's connect. What we do is very simple. We're trying to keep things out of the landfill. We're trying to give opportunity to upcycle things instead of buying things new. Like, you know, upcycle it, recycle it, make it into something else. That's our whole goal. Keep it out of the landfill. You don't have to buy brand new things. You can fix the things you have. You can upcycle them into other things, especially when it comes to art. I mean, art is vast. Art is incredible. You can make anything into art. That's what we're doing. We're trying to just keep the fires burning for creativity and upcycling and recycling and reuse.
I'd like to thank Tobin for taking the time to speak with me. If you'd like to connect with Remainders, their information will be in the description. If you're on Spotify or YouTube, go ahead and drop a comment about what you found most enlightening about this conversation. And I will see all of you guys in the next episode.